All right, let's give God a hand for, you know, the team that put that together and for what's happening in DUMC. Hello, everyone. First and foremost, Happy Chinese New Year to all of you. I don't know how we can do this, but maybe just turn to your neighbor and say, Happy Chinese New Year. So good to see you here. There's a little insight, I won't say joke, but it's an insight understanding among the pastors and the staff here in DUMC that there's such a thing called a Chinese New Year pastor or Chinese New Year speaker. And that pastor is usually always Pastor Moy Hao, right? He's a legendary Chinese Year speaker, and you know, I used to always look forward to coming for Chinese, you know, service during Chinese New Year and hear him speak. But you know, this week I have the privilege of being the Chinese Year speaker, so I thought I would dress for the occasion. When I got dressed today, I honestly thought I was going to be the only one in the entire auditorium. But I'm glad, no, I have a brother here that also, you know, decided to wear a sanfu. So thank you so much for making me not feel so foreign. All right. So again, thank you all so much. God bless you. I'm really glad to see all of you here this weekend. The last time I spoke was last November, where I kicked off the Advent series. And back then, my wife was expecting with our third child. And I'd just like to update you, to let you know that she gave birth successfully, all right, to a beautiful and healthy baby girl. So here's a picture that we just took recently during Christmas. Yes, that's our daughter, Louisa, who's 5 this year, our son, Owen, who's 3, and that's baby Lindsay there. You know, my wife is holding baby Lindsay. She is the loudest so far among the 3 kids, but she also sleeps the most. So, you know, give and take, you know, the offset. So, but yeah, so that's, you know, our family over there, and we are just so blessed, even Rose and I, to be able to parent 3 very, very unique children that we have. Now, as I was praying of what to share for this weekend, the Lord laid in my heart to share on this topic that's very familiar to Christians, but if you were me, you would agree with me that it's one of the hardest things to live by, and that's faith. How do we live by faith? Now, there are many stories of faith situations in the Bible, but today I would like us to focus on one particular story, and that's about Jonathan and his armor bearer. A little context before I go into reading the scripture. What is happening here just before I read from 1 Samuel chapter 14 is that King Saul, who's the first king of Israel, he was leading the Israelites, and one of their main enemies were the Philistines. The Philistines had almost decimated the Israelites, leaving the Israelite army with roughly 600 men and no proper weapons. If you find in 1 Samuel chapter 13, the Philistine army actually destroyed all the blacksmiths, killed all the blacksmiths, and destroyed all the weapons to ensure that the Israelites had no weapons. So if you read in 1 Samuel chapter 13, you'll find that the 600 men that the Israelites had, that King Saul had weapons such as pitchforks and, you know, farming equipment. You compare that with the 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and a vast number of soldiers that the Philistines had. So suffice to say, the Israelites were in grave danger. And actually, at this point, as I'm about to read in 1 Samuel chapter 14, the Israelites were actually in hiding. All right. So I know we usually stand up and read scripture together, but just for this week, because there are 23 verses, I have a feeling if I got all of us to stand up and read 23, we would finish by Chap Gome. All right. So just for this week, can you open up with, in your own Bibles, if you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14, and I'll be reading from verses 1 to 23. Now, as I read, I will explain a little context of what's going on as well. So if you're there, just give me a little wave if you're at 1 Samuel chapter 14. All right, okay. Verse 1, one day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor-bearer, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was a son of Ichabod's brother Ahitub, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other Seneh. One cliff stood to the north towards Michmash and the other to the south toward Geba. Now Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." "Do all you have in mind," his armor-bearer said. "Go ahead, I am with you heart and soul." Now Jonathan said, "Come on then, we will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up, using his hands and feet, with his armor-bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor-bearer killed some 20 men in an area about half an acre. Verse 15. Then panic struck the whole army. Those in the camp and field and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. Saul's lookouts at Gibeah in Benjamin saw the army melting away in all directions. Then Saul said to the men who were with him, "Muster the forces and see who has left us." When they did, it was Jonathan and his armor-bearer who were not there. Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God." At that time, it was with the Israelites. While Saul was talking to the priest, the tumult in the Philistine camp increased more and more. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all his men assembled and went to the battle. They found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. Those Hebrews who had previously been with the Philistines had gone up with them to their camp, went over to the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. When all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were on the run, they joined the battle in hot pursuit. So on that day, the Lord saved Israel, and the battle moved on beyond Beth Aven. What an incredible story. What an incredible story of two men living out an extraordinary faith in their impossible situation. When we begin chapter 14, we read that the situation is almost impossible. There is absolutely no way King Saul was going to lead that 600 men that he had with no proper weapons to defeat the Philistines. Now, they had them cornered in a sense, where the Philistines had set up fort in up on those two hills that that we read about, and they were basically pinned down. King Saul was in hiding. He had no idea how to escape from that situation. Now Jonathan's faith, which is King Saul's son, Jonathan's faith was not anchored in what he saw they had. His faith was not anchored in the abilities that they possessed. His faith was not anchored in the capabilities of, of what they had to overcome that situation. His faith was anchored in the Lord and the Lord alone. See, Jonathan knew that it was going to be God who will deliver him and deliver them from this situation and defeat the Philistines. His faith was anchored so much in the Lord that he actually did not know how the Lord was going to defeat the Philistines, but he stepped out in faith. You know, as we read in verses 4 to 12, we find that, when he said to his armor bearer, "Look, let's go out and stand. Perhaps the Lord will deliver us. You know, as they stood at that hill, you know, it's almost crazy as you think about it. This one man, Jonathan, standing right at that foot of that pass where there are two hills where the Philistines have set up camp. And he's saying, let's present ourselves. And you know what? If they see us and if they ask us to come up, that is a sign. That was crazy. If you think about it, that's suicide. Remember, you know, it's not that he had an army or a small army with him. He brought it along his armor bearer. You know, but as we read from verse 4 to 13, you know, as he stood at that foot of that pass with his armor bearer, truly enough, the Philistine outpost called out and said, ha, there they are. They're finally coming out from their hiding. And then he shouts to Jonathan, hey, you come up here and we'll teach you a lesson. Now, right at that moment, can you just imagine with me, Jonathan's faith must have been brewing from the moment that he had taken his armor bearer with him and said, look, our situation is impossible, but I know this God. Perhaps this God will deliver us from this. And as he's walking towards that pass, you know, his faith is growing and he's telling his armor bearer, look, I know it's a sign from the Lord if they see us and they invite us up. So can you imagine he's standing at that pass and his heart, you know, his pulse is racing and then he hears the Philistine, you know, outpost shouting out to him. He's like, oh, that's one sign. And then he's like, I wonder what he's going to do next. And the Philistine outpost says to them, hey, you come up. We'll teach you a lesson. Can you imagine right at that moment, he's like, hallelujah. This is the sign the Lord will deliver our enemies today. And he grabs his armor bearer and they start climbing up to that hill. So Jonathan's faith was anchored in the Lord. His faith was not based on the current circumstance, but in believing that God has already orchestrated an outcome that is for our good, in which we have not yet seen. You know, in that first attack, it says here in verses 4 to 13 that they killed 20 men. Now, I just want to highlight this. I want to talk about the armor bearer. This was how much faith Jonathan had in the Lord, okay? You guys know what an armor bearer is? The armor bearer is like the assistant assigned to generals, you know, or captains of the army. And their sole purpose and role is to put on the armor, clean the armor. If the armor is damaged, they will repair the armor and ensure that before they go into battle, the general's armor is put on properly. So the armor bearer has no experience in wielding a sword, has no experience in going to war, has no experience in killing. But the faith that Jonathan has, he goes, let's go. And he passes the sword over to the armor bearer. Can you imagine the armor bearer at that moment? He's like, oh, wait, me? I'm wielding this? Okay. And as he climbs up, and as the Philistine soldiers, as they come one by one, as they fall, you know, Jonathan's pushing them to the back, and the armor bearer is killing them. And it says in the first attack, they killed 20 of the Philistine soldiers. We need to surround ourselves with people that will affirm and build up our faith. Can someone say amen to that? You see, when Jonathan said to his young armor bearer in verse 6, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. The armor bearer could have very well said, Jonathan, maybe not. This is suicide. This is a bad idea. This is a bad plan. Don't you see our circumstance? Don't you see that we've got no army behind us? It's just two of us. The armor bearer could have very well said that. But what did the armor bearer say? In verse 7, it says, do all that you have in mind. Go ahead. I'm with you, heart and soul. We need to surround ourselves with people that will affirm and build up our faith. It's one way also to ensure that we do not take actions based on our own impulse, And, or, you know, it's to surround ourselves with people that can discern together what the Lord is saying to us. I say again, this is an incredible story of faith. Now, here's my encouragement to all of you today. There's only one way to know for certain that we have an extraordinary God, and that is to have extraordinary faith. This is the big idea that I want to encourage all of us here today and all of you here tuning in as well. To know an extraordinary God, we need to have extraordinary faith. And to have extraordinary faith, we need to learn to surrender. You see, faith and obedience go hand in hand. The fruits of our faith can only be evident when we step out and trust in Him. And someone say amen to that. Now, you may be here, you may be hearing this, and as I said before, you know, faith is not new. Faith is not something new if you are a Christian. But man, it's hard to live out. And I just want to encourage you that it's not, I'm not standing here saying that, oh, I'm a champion of faith. No, there are moments where I doubt. There are moments where my faith is challenged. But I remind myself constantly that it's not something that it's attained immediately. It's something that has to be built. Having extraordinary faith in an extraordinary God is something that we need to inculcate into our lives. So how do we build up our faith? Here's some suggestions that I would like to share with you on how we can begin to build up our faith and start living a life dependent on God. First suggestion that I would like to share with you today is pray. Pray. What is our prayer life like? See, prayer is communication with God. How else can we know the voice of God if we do not converse with Him? When was the last time that you set aside time to pray with the Father? And not talking about saying grace, one of those Maggie Me 2-minute prayers, or when you were out, you pray for parking. I'm not talking about those type of prayers. I'm talking about a prayer life. When was the last time you set aside time to communicate with our God? So pray. Second thing of how we can build up our faith is to not just pray, but to learn to listen. You see, a lot of times we approach praying, we approach intercession by just, you know, by asking the Lord, you know, to deliver things, or asking the Lord, or presenting to the Lord our situation, our problems, the obstacles that we face, the mountains that we face. You know, a lot of times we approach prayer in that mode, but how many times have you made space in your prayer time so that you can hear His voice? How many times in our prayer time have we made space and say, okay, God, these are my requests. These are my, you know, what I'm going through, my sufferings, but God, I want to hear what You have to say in that situation. See, if we don't learn to listen, then there's no way that we can learn to discern the voice of God. So how do we build up our faith? We pray. We learn to listen. Third thing is to obey. You see, we can hear what He says, but if we don't learn to obey and surrender to His direction, it would be to no avail. Remember what I said? Faith and obedience, they go hand in hand. Recently, you know, finally, we got to have a little bit of a Chinese New Year gathering this year with the Yaos. And So me and my second sister's family, we went over to my mom's place and we would do the traditional thing. We would jamcha, we would give our parents tea, you know, as a sign of respect and honor. And I remember sitting down over the breakfast table and my mom would cook her famous heng hua porridge. Don't ask me what that is. It's just called heng hua porridge, right? Probably Pastor Ming Yeok can help you out there a little bit better. All right, but it's a very delicious broth that we always look forward to. And as we were eating, my mom would like be talking to my son. And my son's a very active boy, lah. Huh? He, you know, if you tell him, hey, don't touch that, he will look at you and go, I wonder what will happen if I do. And he was playing with the pepper shaker, okay? And my mom would say, hey, don't play with the pepper shaker, it's going to cause a mess, right? And he would go, okay, Ama. But as he's saying, okay, Ama, his hand is reaching out to get the pepper shaker. And my mom would go, hey, stop touching the pepper shaker, it's going to cause a mess. And he goes, okay, Ama, I promise never to do it again. Grabs the pepper shaker, and he accidentally pushes it off the table. Pfft. Filled with pepper everywhere. Now, my mom, instead of scolding him, scolded me. He is exactly like you when you were his age. I'm like, I'm just innocently eating my heng hua porridge. And my mom goes, you never obey. That's why you see your son like that. I'm like, whoa, that's a little bit unfair. We can hear what the Lord is asking us and saying to us, but if we do not learn to obey His command, it will be to no avail. So how do we build up our faith? We pray. We build a strong, solid prayer life, a disciplined prayer life. We learn to listen and discern to His voice. We learn to obey His prompting or whatever He's saying to us. And the final one is we learn to step out. You see, faith is only practiced when we take a step out in believing in a God-orchestrated outcome that we do not yet see. Let me say that again. Faith is only practiced when we take a step out in believing in a God-orchestrated outcome that we do not yet see. Friends, there is a connection between physical obedience and spiritual release. I'll say that again. There is a connection between physical obedience and spiritual release. Just look at Abraham. Because of his obedience, you know, when the Lord had commanded Abraham to take his son to a place where the Lord would tell him and sacrifice his only son, Abraham did that in obedience. Again, to Abraham, it absolutely did not make sense. Lord, why? We had to wait so long for you to give us this son. And when we finally have this precious son, you're asking me to sacrifice him? But Abraham did so in obedience. And because of his obedience, the Lord declared blessings over his descendants. So there is a connection between physical obedience and spiritual release. Big idea again. To know an extraordinary God, we need to have extraordinary faith. In order to have extraordinary faith, we need to learn to surrender. Now, as I just get the worship team up, as I was reading this and I was preparing this, what I was going to share for this week, I was reminded of this story. Before I joined church full-time, I worked in the university as a counselor, student counselor. And part of my job would be to, counsel international students. And again, as I was reading this, I cannot help but, be reminded of this guy. There's this one particular guy. His name is Ovi. and he's a Nigerian guy. And he had come to study in Malaysia for 2 years. And one day, as we were about to finish work, this was about 9-10 years ago, easily. And I was at my desk and I was getting ready to go back because, you know, it was about time to, you know, to go home, and I was packing my stuff in the office. In comes this this guy, all right? And he is a muscular man. Like, muscular man. Like, his biceps were the size of my head, you know, that sort of thing. And he was tall and he was, you know, he was... This big guy comes walking into the student affairs office, as we will call it back then. And he came and he looked a bit sheepish. He was looking in. And I remember sitting there and I was thinking to myself, okay, is he looking for someone? But I was like, okay, never mind. Let me just pack my bags and, you know. And then he starts walking up to my table and he goes, excuse me, sir. And I went, yeah? Yes? Now, this is going to sound strange, but trust me, you know, hang on. There is a powerful ending to this story, I promise you. He looks at me and says, excuse me, sir. And I went, yes? Have you heard of the Mukule Mbebe? I'm like, sorry? Okay, thank you. And he walks out. Me and my colleagues are stunned. We're like, did that just happen? And I was like, okay. Packed my bags. I went back home. And it was playing around in my head. I was like, what is this guy like? What? That's a bit strange. I remember the next day as I went to work, I not thought about it anymore. You know, I just, in a sense, brushed it aside. I was like, yeah, maybe it's just, you know, another weird student or whatever. And as I, you know, go about my day the next day, I was walking through the cafeteria back to my office, and I saw him sitting alone on the table just by himself. And as I walked past, there's something within me that said, go and ask him about the Mukule Mbebe. I was like, no la. It's okay. It's all right. I'm having a long day, God. And he'll probably think that I'm weird, you know, to go and ask him. I'm not even sure if I'm saying it right, you know. So as I walk, and as I'm walking back to my office, it gets louder and louder. Stop. Go to him. Ask him about the Mukule Mbebe. And I go, okay. I went up to him. And as I was approaching him, he looked up and his eyes just went big. And I went to him, I said, hey, how's the Mukule Mbebe doing? And I smiled, thinking that, you know, it's a joke, right? He looked at me and he started bawling. And right at that point, the first thought in my head was, okay, we are in the middle of the cafeteria, it's break time. Everyone's going to be wondering, what did this student counselor do to this Nigerian boy that he's bawling, right? So I go, hey. I said, bro, come on, let's go into the office and let's talk about this. And he's crying and he's packing his bag and he follows me to the office. And as we sit down and, you know, he then shares with me, he says, Mr. Terry, yesterday was the day that I decided to take my life. Because everything is going wrong for me here in this country. My family has disowned me back in Nigeria. I have no friends. I'm not even sure if I'm going to pass my studies. I'm just in a very, very hopeless state. And he said, I grew up a Christian, but I was never serious about it. And I thought to myself, God, if you are real, and if all the things that people say about you is real, that you can, you know, help people out of impossible situations, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into that student affairs office. The first guy that I meet, I'm going to ask him something ridiculous. And if the next day he comes to me and asks me back about that ridiculous thing, I will know that you are real. You know, when he shared that with me, I was having goosebumps because he then proceeded to show me the pills that he was going to ingest if I did not go to him to ask him about the Mukole Mbebe. We prayed, which technically we weren't supposed to because I was supposed to be neutral as a counselor, but he had asked if I could pray with him or if I was a Christian. And I shared with him and I said, yeah, that's God, man. That's God saying He loves you. That's God saying that your life is worth it. I prayed with him. And, you know, we continued seeing each other. And he would, you know, come to me sort of like a, you know, he would look at me as sort of like a mentor. He would share with me about the girls that he likes and, you know, the struggles in his studies and all of that. And I was glad to do it, you know. And 2 years later, he had actually won a green card lottery. Is that, I think it is still call it that, right? And, you know, so he had an opportunity to migrate, to go to the States. And he went over. And over there now, he is one of the most popular Nigerian fitness instructors for the Nigerian community that's there. And he will send me videos of, you know, his workout videos. And he always tell me, Mr. Terry, you should do this because you need this, you know. And he recently got married about 2 years ago. And I look at him now, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You are real. He had no idea how his situation was going to turn out. In fact, he was going to take his own life. He probably thought to himself, perhaps God will help me. And he took that step of faith to approach me. And now today, he knows his extraordinary God. Because he has extraordinary faith. Now, even as we would like to bring us to a close today, there are a number of people that I want to pray for. If you are here in the auditorium or if you are tuning in online as well, now, is there a situation that you are in now that seems absolutely impossible to overcome? You look at your circumstance and you look at what you have, all your plans of overcoming that situation, all seems, you know, doesn't work. That you're in an absolute impossible situation right now. Or are you at a place in your life whereby you already feel defeated? You already feel like a King Saul hiding. And you can't seem to find the strength to step out in faith. Can I encourage you today to allow the Spirit of God to minister to your heart, to know that His grace is more than sufficient for you in your suffering? And if you're here today and if you're tuning in and you do not yet know who this Jesus Christ is, can I encourage you to place your faith in Jesus today, the very author and perfecter of our faith? Now, if you would like to give your life to Jesus, and if you're tuning in online, there is a button that will appear right now, is to raise your hands. Is to raise hands. Can you click on that button right now? And I will lead you in a prayer. Or if there's anybody here in this auditorium today that you do not yet know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going through a circumstance in your life of uncertainty of how the outcome will be like, give your life to Jesus today. If there's anybody here with all eyes closed and all heads bowed, just on the count of three, would you raise your hands if you would like to give your life to Jesus today? 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. If that's you online and if you would like to give your life to Jesus today, just click on that raise hands button. Let me just lead you in a prayer. Hallelujah.
if you would repeat after me. Lord Jesus, would you come into my life? Lord, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I've messed up. But Lord, I thank you for the work on the cross, where you died on the cross for my sins and for my salvation. So Lord, I invite you into my heart. Would you take over? Would you give me the strength to overcome the situation that I'm in? In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. And if you said that prayer for the first time, please click on the raise hand and request prayer as well. And one of our prayer hosts would love to continue chatting with you and encouraging you in that situation. Now for the rest of us here, can I invite all of us to just stand to our feet? Now in a moment, I would like us to just spend some time in worship. Now, if you were one of those people in the categories that I mentioned just now, if there's a situation you're in now that seems impossible to overcome, or you're in a place in your life whereby you feel defeated already. Now, as we worship, open up your heart and allow the Spirit of God to minister to us. And then I'll pray. I'll pray with you. So come on. Thank you, Lord.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Jesus, the name above every other.
There is no one like you, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here in the auditorium and those online. Lord, I pray for those who are in a circumstance or in a situation whereby they feel, Lord, and they see, Lord, that they are already defeated. Holy Spirit, right now, begin to fill their hearts with peace. Fill them, Lord, with the grace, Lord, that is sufficient, Lord. Encourage them, Lord, to know that You are with them. And Lord, even as You are doing that right now, God, give them the strength and boldness, the belief that they may step out in faith, that they may have extraordinary faith to declare Your victory in their circumstance. And Lord, in declaring that, Lord, may they know the extraordinary God that we serve, the extraordinary God that we love, the extraordinary God that we believe in. God, we declare that today. So Lord, seal, Lord, in their hearts. Protect them from the work of the enemy that will try and dissuade them, that will try and tell them lies that they are already defeated. No, Lord, we pray against that in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we trust in You. And, Lord, we declare, Lord, that You are Lord of all. Lord, we declare, Lord, victory in Your name. Lord, we declare victory in our circumstances. Not because we are great or we are capable, but because, God, You are great. And You are able to do. God, we give You praise and we give You glory. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.